or sorry, the exact word is, what can we do to make you feel at home today? Which also I think I'd be like, gag me with a spoon if I was just trying to order a muffin and someone said that to me. The podcast where we hate a spinnerbait, but we love Revolutionary War cottages and Victorian orphanages. Basically, we stand Deb so hard. So, hi, everyone. It's Bethany. With me, as always, is Michael Ann. Michael Ann, how I just lost my bookmark. How go things?
Things go.
And they just keep going.
They just keep going. The horrors are relentless.
The horrors are so relentless, y'all, always. And it's truly not fair. Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for being understanding that we took a little unexpected week off. Life, the horrors, they're relentless. And they life be like that horror. Sometimes.
Yeah. And as a pre-warning, our recording schedule might be a little frantic and all over the place over the next couple months minimum.
Minimum. So just like bear with us. Yeah. But we're here. We're going to get through these books. We'll be here to talk chaos. You know us. There's a new Taylor Swift album coming out in a month. So we'll be around to discuss it. We have exciting things planned to discuss. But yeah, obviously – here at Hey Spinnerbait, you know, taking care of ourselves is a big thing. We always tell all of you to take care of yourselves, which I am a big proponent of always. And that also means we have to take care of ourselves sometimes. So we really appreciate it. Sometimes the horrors are relentless and we just gotta take a little breather.
Mm-hmm.
But we're here today to discuss chapter 9, boop, boop, boop. Which is some quality content. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a great chapter, truly.
It is.
And I'm very excited to talk about it. We are going to recap. And I didn't even ask before we started recording, Michael Ann, do you have a recap for us? If not, I can scrounge one up real quick.
I don't.
I honestly didn't even think about it until I just said, but first we're going to recap. So chapter 8, it's all come back to me now, is the time with the chicken soup, the chicken noodle soup, which I haven't educated on. Some people I've been polling people, everyone in my real life online. And some people are like, yeah, thyme is an ingredient. Other people are like, no, I don't use that. I know someone actually uses mint in her chicken noodle soup. She was explaining to me how she uses it.
Hate that.
So yeah, you're like, hate that. I'm not a fan. I've been taking this seriously. The time pull is real, y'all. Okay. So that's the most important thing from chapter 8. No, I'm just kidding. But kind of. Obviously, our girl McLean and, you know, Dave and her kind of like, she's like, oh, I don't know. Like, this is kind of different. I'm being myself. And we basically ended the last chapter. What's important is he gives her the time. He gives her the little note. And for the first time, she's kind of thinking like, you know, do I want to leave this place? Like, she's out loud. She's saying like, oh yeah, you know, like I'll be off to college soon. Like, this is temporary. And if I wasn't to leave college, like I'm sure, you know, in a month or two, my dad's going to fix up Luna Blue. We would hit the road. So that's kind of the big thing. Other than that, I'm sure you all remember the rest of the story. And if not, that's on you for joining us here for the first time on chapter 9. Go back to when we discussed chapter 1.
Start
and
over.
Follow from there. But if you do remember where we are, if you also have been illuminated about the fact that time is included in chicken noodle soup, dive on in today with us to chapter 9. Boop, boop, be-doop.
Boop, boop.
Well, also, everyone, wish, because this will be coming out on Tuesday, so it'll be a belated birthday. But everyone, wish my clan a happy birthday, because it's her birthday week. Yay. It's her birthday month. Big believer in celebrating a month long.
Thank you. I will, it's my Lorelai Gilmore year, everybody. Next year will be my Jesus year. And then I don't have any more themes from that point on.
We'll think of something. We'll have to come up with something. It's my Lorelai Gilmore. Then it's my Jesus year. And then after that.
Then it gets boring. 34?
There's got to be something. I'm sure there's something for 34. But I don't.
Well, my birthday is March 4th. 34.
Yeah.
So
34. There you go.
There you
It'll
go.
Be your birthday year. That's what it is. Yes. That is what it is. Your golden birthday was when you were very little.
Yes.
So I think anything that ends in a 4 should also count as like your golden birthday. So, you know, 14, 24, 34, 44. 44 for sure, because it'll be double 4. I think you should get. Yeah, definitely. Also, in the never-ending discussion of how we're terrible at shipping things, this I bought from a thing, and so it is shipping to you.
Okay.
So it's not really on me. It has already been sent. But I don't know when it's going to show up. Not exactly on your birthday, but again, we celebrate all month long, so.
Facts.
I'm sure at some point in the next week or two, it'll arrive, but I bought it a little too late for it to actually be there, like, on time for your birthday.
Story of my life.
It's close enough, and I'm proud of myself, y'all, that I went to the post office the other week, so.
Yes.
You know what? I'm thriving, guys. I'm thriving.
Yes, we will. Bethany sent us her bracelets, so we'll have all those. My goal, and now I might be being a little bit ambitious, but my goal is to have the bracelets up by Wednesday. However, it's my birthday, my friends in town, etc. So,
bear with her, everyone.
Bear with me. Bear with me.
Bear with her. Chapter 9, baby. Here we go. So after the night of the chicken noodle soup time incident, she wakes up. Our girl McLean wakes up. And it's snowing. And her dad are like, what? Snow? Because they have not lived in a place where that has been possible recently. So her dad is off to work. And he is asking her, you know, like, do you think school's going to be canceled or whatever? And she's like, oh, I doubt it. This isn't Georgia or Florida, which is very funny to me as someone who has lived in both of those states. it's accurate. We don't know how to handle the snow. In my life in the state of Florida, where I lived in Florida, anywho, it never snowed. Where I live currently, it can snow, but it happens very, very rarely. And when it does, from what I understand, the most recent time it snowed here was about 5 years ago. And yeah, everything just shuts down because we are not equipped to handle that, obviously. So even like a little light snow flurry, people are like, abort! Everyone stay home. Don't go on the roads. We don't know how to do this. So that just personally cracked me up. Obviously in Lakeview, North Carolina, since Lakeview is Chapel Hill, I can attest that they are better at handling the snow, but they're still not great at it. If they get a decent amount, they will shut things down.
I was going to say, like, North Carolina is still this... still the South in a lot of ways, so it's like it's not like you're getting you know the kind of snow I got growing up.
No, definitely not. Yeah, if they get, when they get like a little light snow, it's not like such a big deal, but if they start, you know, where it starts sticking on the ground, they do kind of not quite know how to handle it, which hey, I get. So he's headed off. He is talking about the fact that today is the big meeting with Chuckles, which him and Opal, you know, in the previous chapter, were working on their lists and we're getting like a little slap happy and also were scared. Like if they're like Opal, this is her baby. This restaurant is her baby. She cares about it a lot and she doesn't want it to, you know, be shut down and or have to fire people. And so her dad, good old Gus, is kind of joking around about like, hey, like maybe this delay can help us with the restaurant. Like maybe we'll be able to poach people from another restaurant. Maybe we'll be able to wave a magic wand and suddenly this will all be good. So he's all like, I'm off. Wish me luck with Chuckles. Good old Chuckles. We get to finally meet Chuckles in this chapter. It's very exciting to me. Iconic. And then, you know, so she was saying here, I kind of highlighted this at the top of 225. You know, when her dad leaves off and she's kind of sad because she's thinking about when she goes off to college, like he'll be alone, essentially. And she says, I knew it wasn't my responsibility to take care of my dad, that he didn't ask for it or expect it. But he already had been left behind one time. I hated that I'd be the person to make it twice. And I'm just really sad that that's how she views it. Because, like, no. Like, you're not. Like, I know that that's how it would feel. And I know that even in her rational brain, she's like, I know it's not my responsibility. He's never asked me to take care of him. But she does. She feels this, like, need to do so. And, yeah, I just think that's really sad that that's how, like, she sees it. And I was like, no, like, what you were doing, living your own life and going off to college, is not remotely the same thing that your mother did.
No.
Just so we're all clear.
No. Your dad wants you to go to college. He doesn't want you to be his secretary.
Right, exactly.
But he did want his wife to be a wife. His wife.
Yeah.
Preferably.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, not Peter Hamilton's wife. Yeah. His wife is what he was aiming for here, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Gus.
Poor Gus.
Bless him. So just then she says, speak of the devil. She sees a call coming in from what she knows will be her mom. And again, seriously, why does her mother, like, call her at the worst times? Like, she's like, I'm up for school. Like, I'm about to go head to the bus. And her mom is calling. And I'm like, yeah, why is she always calling you during, like, basically school hours? Like, call her in the evening. Call her. Like, I don't understand this woman. And here's where we get a little bit of drama here this chapter, okay? So mom calls. And, of course, she's all like, hey, how you doing? Oh, my God. Are you getting snow by you? We're getting snow by us. Here's a cute picture of the twins and their snowsuits. Ugh, gag me. No offense to the twins.
No offense.
This is not their fault. They are poor innocent children in this. But she's all like, oh, you know, like, it was just so nice to see you. And I was just thinking, now that we live so close, like, or at least a lot closer than they did from her last place that they lived, we should really see each other. Like, you could come over on the weekend. And she's like, how about this weekend? Like, we're having this full, like, fundraiser. And which, again, I feel like she just wants to use McLean as, like, a prop of, like, look at our happy blended family, like, for, I don't know, for the boosters. That's sus. I don't like it. And so she's all like, oh, you can come over. And so McLean, of course, is not having it. She doesn't want to come over and do this big dinner party with the boosters. She doesn't want to go to the beach house the following weekend. Like, she wants to live her own goddamn life. And she's trying to let her mom down gently. And she's, you know, making excuses like, I'm really busy with school. And her mom's not having it. She's like, well, it's the weekend and you can bring your schoolwork with you. And I guess I'm just, and she's like guilt tripping her as per usual. She's like, I guess I'm just not allowed to be in my daughter's life. I guess she just, like, don't want me ever since your dad took me away. Which, again, I hate that her father, not like I'm saying he is the greatest parent in the world, but never talks poorly about the mom. And the mom, like, definitely is always, like, speaking poorly of her father to her, which, do not do that. No, not cool. And so McLean sticks up for him and she's like, he didn't take me away. Like, this was my choice. Like, this is what I wanted to do. All I've ever wanted to do is live my own goddamn life. And so we finally get a little bit of a blow up from McLean, which I think honestly is warranted. Like, she's earned this, I think, because her mother just, like, her mother just does not get it. And so finally she says, you know, her mom is saying, like, you can't blame me for everything always. And she says, you're right, but I can blame you for the divorce and for the way things are between us now. You did this. At least own it. Mic freaking drop. Mic drop moment. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I think you deserve that. Unfortunately, though, which often goes, and again, a lot of times you think mic drop moments are going to be like Julia Roberts and what can I think of the name of the movie right now? Pretty Woman. There we go. Where she gets to have her, like, big mistake moment and it's like redemption and she feels great and vindicated. But often in real life, you finally get to have your big mistake moment and you just still feel like shit, which is what happens to our girl McLean here. It doesn't make her feel better. It's not like suddenly her mom is like, you're right, I am terrible. So, yeah, she says, I thought about this moment for almost 3 years, but now that it was here, it was just me. It just made me sad. And her mom just basically hangs up the phone on her, which, again, A-plus parenting.
Yeah. I have a lot to say about this argument or this whole conversation, really.
Yes. Break it down.
So, first of all, her mom is always like, I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see you. But she puts kind of the, like, responsibility of travel and seeing each other, like, on McLean. Like, she's like, McLean, come to my house. And it's like, McLean doesn't want to go to your house. Like, that's very clear. Like, she's uncomfortable at your house. She doesn't feel good there yet. Like, she's not. She hasn't processed the divorce. She hasn't processed your new life. Like, and to for her to constantly be like, oh, come here while I'm having a huge event. Or, like, come to my beach house with my new family. It's like, no, she doesn't want to do that. Like, she's acting like she's a victim and McLean is being, like, a bratty little kid. But it's like, in all honesty, you're not listening to McLean's needs. Like, McLean, if you want to be with McLean, you need to come down to Lakeview alone. Right. You need to spend some time with her alone. She doesn't want to spend time with your kids. Like, you need to understand that not everything can go the way you want it to go.
Right.
And then I did also think it was really fucked up when she said, all I want is for us to be close like we used to be before your father took you away. And it's like, yeah. Is it before her father took her away or like before you had an affair and produced two children, divorced her dad and threw her life into a blender?
Yep.
Like, and I really liked how McLean, first of all, was like, you made choices too. Remember, and like, of course her mom can't anything except it, and she's like, sooner or later, McLean, you're going to have to stop blaming me for everything. And it's like, well, like, even if
this I think I can blame you for though, mom.
Right, like, there could be things that like we don't know and McLean doesn't know about their marriage and like how it led to the point where she cheated.
Right.
You know, maybe he was like not very attentive or like, you know, who knows. But also like from McLean's point of view, and I feel like it's really important that her mom sees it from McLean, 17-year-old's point of view, which is like, mm-hmm. Mom has a new family now. She doesn't give a shit about us basically. And my dad is upset and I have to like take care of him now because you did this. And she really just has like no accountability, as she says here, like, you did this, like, at least own it. And it's like, it's so true. Like, you might be so happy right now. You might have all the money and the super sweet husband that you've always wanted and, you know, two beautiful kids, and you might be living the dream, but like, you can't forget that your adolescent daughter was like kind of left in the dust and is just met with hostility. Like, she, like, the mom is always just hostile. She's either forcing McLean to like be like to not face the real situation, like she's either trying to pretend like everything's fine, everything's normal, or she's like yelling at McLean for like not being good enough at keeping in communication. And it's like, well, as an adult, like, you need to understand that this is actually on you, not McLean, you know? So
yeah, she really wants, like you were saying, like, she wants her to fit into her new life.
Yeah.
And that's a lot to ask of a teenager. Like, when you have essentially, you know, McLean didn't ask for this new life. Like, you thrust that upon her. So, yeah, you have to meet her where she's at. Like, why is it always she has to come to your new fancy house and whatever? Like, you know, she said their thing was going to that place, the Poseidon, this terrible rundown hotel. If you really, truly miss your daughter and you want a relationship with her, meet her where she's at.
Exactly.
And right now she's not at coming in and being part of your little new beautiful blended family with your rich husband. She wants to go to the Poseidon. So like, have a girls weekend where it's just the two of you, and then maybe after that she'll be like, okay, I'm willing to go to the beach house, you know what I mean? But yeah, like, I just feel like her mom is like, you need to come meet me where I'm at.
Yeah.
And that's not fair to McLean because she's not there yet, and that's that's totally acceptable. She is a teenage kid who did absolutely nothing wrong in this situation. It was thrust upon her. And yeah, I just feel like her mom is not very understanding of that. Also, like, not the point of any of this, but it did kind of seem like we were leading to like, oh, you know, her dad was just so busy with the restaurant that like, that's kind of one of the reasons why maybe mom was like led astray or whatever, which again, still does not like excuse cheating. Right. But like, you can see, like you said, we don't know what their marriage was like. We don't know what led her to, you know, finding this other guy and leaving her dad and whatnot. But I do just find it comical that she ends up with a college basketball coach, because let me tell you, it's not like their job would be any less demanding.
Right.
He would also be away a lot, and he also would be like very invested in his job. Like, because even when it's not basketball season, you're recruiting, you're doing this, you're doing that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just funny to me that like she leaves a guy, it sounds like kind of because he was too busy and too invested with his work, to probably end up in the same situation with another guy. But hey, at least this one is rich, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So she's like, well, I have nannies now, so I guess it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, he probably has to travel a lot, but she probably doesn't work, and she has two nannies for her two kids. So she's like, you know what, this is better because I get to travel with him and go to games and, you know, be...
Yeah, it's just very funny to me.
A basketball coach wife.
Yeah, be a coach, be a little trophy wife.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just is wild to me. And I just think it's so juvenile. Again, I'm not saying like, you know, now that I'm an adult, like obviously like your relationship with your parents when you're an adult is different than when you're a kid. But, you know, so I'm not saying that like there aren't times where like I could say something hurtful to my mom and she would have every right to be upset about it. And, you know, we would talk that out or whatever. But, even as an adult, I think if I said something hurtful to my mom, she wouldn't just be like, I'm hanging up the phone on you. Like, she would still take the, like, even no matter what age you are, like, the parent is still the parent. And, like, yes, again, a kid can upset a parent. A kid can say hurtful things. An adult can say hurtful things to their, you know, parents. But, yeah, like, I don't know. I just think that was such a juvenile response to just, like, especially at the age that they are at when her kid is still a kid. Still an adolescent, that she would just be like, oh, you said something mean, I'm gonna hang up. Like, it'd be one thing if she was like, I found that very hurtful and I would like to discuss this later, but she just like straight up hangs up on her. And I'm like, but also like, how do you not see that you were the one who made this situation? Even if, like you said, like, she's happy now, this was the right thing, like, clearly her parents' relationship wasn't meant to be, you know what I mean? And that happens. But, like, how do you not see that the situation that everyone is in now is because of your doing? And how would you not, like, want to be more understanding of your daughter in that situation? But, yeah, I don't know. This mom, man, she's really something.
She really is. She's really, like, self-absorbed, truthfully.
Yes. 100%. That's what it is. Yes. Ugh. But yeah, after that awkward phone call, you know, like she says, she doesn't feel better like she thought she kind of would after finally saying that after 3 years. She just kind of feels like shit. She still feels sad. And so, you know, she's saying she's waiting for that moment of exhilaration. But instead, it was something more like fear that washed over me as I started down our walk, pulling away my coat tightly around me, which also just makes me sad that, like, she's afraid to be on, like, open and honest with her mother about how she has felt for 3 years. That's depressing. So she, you know, kind of, she goes outside, she's headed to school, and she's in such, you know, obviously kind of a haze from everything that just happened that she realizes she's walked too far. And so she decides that, you know what, like, she's already gone too far. She's probably going to be late. She's just going to go ahead and, like, stop into good old Fraser Bakery real quick to get warmed up and then be on her way. I do enjoy the fact that here at Fraser Bakery, which I understand she ends up ordering this thing because she had talked to Dave about it, but she orders a smoothie, and the whole reason she came in here was to, like, warm up. And on a snowy day, she orders a frozen drink. Love that. Honestly, though, that's such a teenager move.
I was just going to say, that's very 17-year-old of her, truthfully.
Very 17. I was like, you know what? Respect. So she's there and she's looking at this place and she's saying she kind of hates all the corporateness of it. Like, it's supposed to be like a mom and pop shop, like, has the aesthetic of that. You know, there's all this like needle point things, like art on the wall. But obviously it's a corporation, it's a chain, and there's, you know, certain things that they have to do. Like, you know, how can I help you today? Or sorry, the exact word is, what can we do to make you feel at home today? Which also, I think I'd be like, gag me with a spoon if I was just trying to order a muffin and someone said that to me.
I read this and I had like Vietnam flashbacks to like working at big corporate places, restaurants, who like try to make you say like the dumbest shit. I worked at a place that was corporate, and they had like a whole like limerick for us to memorize.
Oh, Jesus.
And it was like, this restaurant is our home, the guests are our friends, the our coworkers are our family, and it's like, just pay us correctly and just don't pay us. Treat us like shit. How about that? Oh my god, did you hear about did you hear about Raglan?
No, I have not heard about Raglan.
Oh my god. Okay,
what's
so
going on?
A lawsuit has come out this week. Actually, all of this happened on Monday. Literally everything that happened to me this week happened on Monday. But anyway, so Monday I find out that Raglan is being sued, and it's like all over the news. Like People Magazine did a thing on it because I know, because in October this couple came in and the wife had a nut and dairy allergy. And if you guys have ever worked or been to a Disney restaurant, like, you know, we take, like, honestly, they take allergies extremely seriously. Like, there's a process. Like, honestly, Universal took it a little bit more seriously, which I find surprising to think back on. But, you know, like at Universal, for example, like, we'd have to go get the chef. The chef would have to talk to them directly. Then we would have to fill out this like form, and it was like handled very well. In Disney, I'm not going to lump this in with Disney, but Raglan itself like had a process as well. Like, we hit the allergy button when we were ringing something in like literally 15 times. Like, half the ticket was allergies. We would always talk to the chef, always make sure everything was good, whatever. So like, we do have, like, there is a very good process of for allergies. However, she ordered some new menu item that I don't really know that much about, so I can't speak as to what it's made out of, but I do know that it's vegan. It's like corn fritters with broccoli, and then they got scallops as well, he said, the husband said. So they're eating, you know, blah, blah, blah. They leave. They start walking around to go shopping. She starts to not feel good. They go into Planet Hollywood, which is very, like, which is like, I don't know, 3 minutes away from Raglan walking.
Yeah.
And she dies, basically. Like, right. Like, she just, like, goes in there and just, like, dies. Like, and they had an EpiPen for her, and they, you know, did the EpiPen, and it didn't do anything. Like, it was too far gone. So she, the autopsy says that she died from anaphylactic shock due to high levels of nut and dairy. And I'm like, finding this, and so they're blaming Raglan. They're saying Raglan killed her. Now, a couple things. First of all, I worked at Raglan for many, many years, and I know the kitchen very well, and I know the food very well, except for this one meal, of course, that's, I don't know. But I know there's like separate fryers for allergies. There's separate batters for allergies. Like, it's not like you're going to Applebee's and telling your 15-year-old server that you have a nut allergy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And they've like never heard of thing. They're like, what are you talking
about? Yeah. They're like, I don't care.
Honestly, my mom, who has celiac, Raglan was one of the places we went to a lot when she came into town, because it was everyone's very knowledgeable. Like, again, like, the way they train you on allergies at this place is like, you got to know your shit.
Yes.
So like, the servers always like knew what we were talking about. They would tell us to get the separate fryers. I always felt very comfortable taking it, and they had good options. I missed the onion rings, but they used to have like gluten-free onion rings and all that kind of stuff. So it was always, you know, it was fun because my mom couldn't have things like that at a lot of restaurants, and there we knew she would be, you know, safe. So
did they get rid of the gluten-free onion rings?
Yeah, because they now – something they changed – they don't have a separate fryer for it anymore, I believe is what it is. Because one time we went to Cooks of Dublin, because again, they share their same kitchen, and so you could get the onion rings either there or at Raglan, and it was like lunchtime, and we weren't like trying to have like a full proper meal, so we're like, oh, just going to Cooks of Dublin real quick. And so, you know, we were talking to them, which again, they were always like very knowledgeable, and the person let us know that something about when they got some new menu item in, they needed that fryer for that. Or I don't know. Like, they didn't have a separate fryer for it anymore, so they couldn't guarantee the cross contact, you know, whatever, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I think it was something in that. And I was so sad because, like, my mom and I would always go and get the onion rings. But, yeah, I think they don't have its own fryer for it anymore is what it was or something like that.
Interesting. It does still say they have gluten-free fish and chips.
So that's odd. But yeah, again, I don't know the exact fryer situation, but I knew back in the day they were always very adamant about the fact that it was separate and it was good. And obviously there's nothing in the batter or whatever, yada, yada, yada. And then, yeah, one time we went and they were just like, no go anymore. They were like, oh, like it wouldn't, like, if, you know, because again, my mom has celiac. So I know some people have gluten allergies, like cross-contamination is not something that affects them. But with celiac, it does. Like, you really have to make sure you keep that stuff separate. So, you know, again, I'm very appreciative that people told us and we knew not that we couldn't get it anymore. But yeah, it was something to do with something that they added to the menu or something that they did where they now needed that fryer for it. Or, like, I don't know, it's probably some, like, stupid money saving, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, it always is.
That would be, like, honestly, that if they did get rid of the gluten-free onion rings, that's a huge error on their part because those were huge sellers.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I hope that they figure that situation out because what the fuck? I don't know. But anyway, so the training for Raglan, at least when I did it, was like, the most intense training I've ever been through in my entire life. It was like a full week every single day. We had a binder of material. Well, part of our test to be able to get onto the floor was they gave you a blank piece of paper and you had to write down every single one of our whiskeys and scotches. And that was only part of it. And then, so then during the training, I saw a couple people actually get fired right away for forgetting to ring in an allergy. Like, they don't fuck around. So it's so interesting to me that this could have happened. Like, it feels
right.
It feels like, oh man, like,
that's wild.
I wonder if, like, I just, like, have to wonder if it really was Raglan,
right? That it happened at Raglan,
right? Because, like, you're in Disney Springs, like, Gideon's is, like, right there, like, Ghirardelli, like, there's so many places.
I'm not saying that it's not possible, but I just don't feel like the probability of it, considering how seriously I know. Like, yeah, like, people, again, you know, even at Universal, again, we took allergies, like McLean was saying, like, serious, even potentially more serious than Disney did. I think both companies
take them very seriously.
Just for everyone out there, if you're listening and you have an allergy and trying to go to a theme park, just know that they, like, if this did happen, it was like a one-off situation. Like, these places take this very seriously. But yeah, like, we, like McLean was saying, we had to ring into the computer and we had a separate ticket that you had to fill out if someone had an allergy at Universal, and people got fired for not filling out that ticket. True story. Like, I know someone that got fired for that. Like, they, you know, they didn't have, they, even though they rung it on the computer as an allergy, the fact that they didn't fill out the little, like, pink slip we were supposed to fill out was a fireable offense because, like, they were not fucking around with allergies, you know?
Yeah. And I will say, Disney proper, like, so Raglan is on Disney property, but it's not owned by Disney. Yeah, Disney proper has a very similar allergy.
Yeah, like,
I want to say the chef does get involved at Disney, but it is.
When I went recently to eat at the Hoop-Dee-Doo, being a vegetarian, the chef got involved.
Yes, okay, yeah.
Technically, it's, like, considered an allergen because meat could make me sick because it hasn't been in my system for years. So usually a chef will. And anytime I've, like, taken my mom places, I'm trying to think of somewhere if we've gone, like, that's actual, like, owned and operated by Disney, I feel like they have gotten involved. And I know one time I have a friend who has a shellfish allergy, and we were at Tepaneto, and so, you know, they obviously ask about that. And so, because you're going to be on a little shoop, shoop. Oh, hi. You have a little, like, leg line.
That was so weird. I was just like, that was so strange.
I wish y'all could have just seen what we just witnessed.
There was just, like, I started drinking my water, and there was just a little, like, bubble thumbs up that popped up on my face for some reason. I guess this is like, good job, drink water.
Good job. You drank that water. We're proud of you. That was great. But yeah, like, they had to, like, talk to her about it and stuff because, you know, potentially the people on the – would be eating shellfish from that thing. And so they had to make her food first and yada, yada, yada. But, yeah, this has been our – this is a theme to y'all because we are reading a book where they work at restaurants. Right. They're tasting some restaurants. In case you're like, where did this digression come from? It's theme, but okay?
I will say,
oh, that's wild.
I feel very sorry for that family. I can't imagine what they're going through. What a fucking awful way to be on vacation. But I hope that, you know, there's some answers and maybe now the chef will start going to the table at Raglan too. I feel like the chef going to the table is like actually kind of huge. Like, I feel like that is a key part of what makes Universal and Disney propers like a one step ahead. But
anyway, like the knowledge that these like people have, because like some of the allergies we dealt with were really interesting, and people would tell me and I'd be like, never even heard of that allergy. But like a chef, like the things they can tell you, like that's in stuff, they'd be like, well, it has this powder and this and da-da-da, and you're like, does it? I don't know. You know? So I feel like them talking to people was always like very key in keeping people safe. But yeah.
Anyway.
Corporations, am I right? Fraser Bakery.
Fraser Bakery. Wait, too. Oh, another thing I wanted to say about Fraser Bakery.
Oh yeah.
And Cece, maybe you could. It's been a while since we've called on our girl Cece, but Cece.
Help us out.
Is this the bakery that Along for the Ride boy's ex-girlfriend her parents owned?
Oh, yes. I think you are correct.
Eli.
Is that? Yeah. Yeah. What was whatever the ex-girlfriend's name is? I can't remember. But yeah, Eli's ex-girlfriend. I think you might be right.
Yes.
Cece?
Confirm.
Let us know. We don't know.
I think she's backed up on episodes right now. So
yeah, we won't have an answer for this for a while, y'all. We'll ask her in the Discord. Cece, because you probably won't hear us calling for your help for a while. Answer us the thing.
Yes.
that's so funny. We'll send the CC signal. But yeah, these freaking corporate things, can I just say, as someone who had to say them a lot in my life, that no customer cares. They don't want to hear it. Listen, y'all, as a born and raised Floridian, I freaking love Publix. Publix really till I die. I know, sometimes it's overpriced in many things, but like shopping is a goddamn pleasure there, okay? Like, they're not wrong about that. So anyways, I know it's like they have to ask you and you get there like, did you find everything okay? And I just like I've been shopping in Publix since I could like learned how to walk. Like, I know where things are. Like, yes, every time you go in a new one, it's set up a little bit differently, but I'm like, who is really waiting until, like, if you can't find something, you're stopping someone while you're, like, out shopping. You're not waiting until you get to the checkout line to be like, you know what I couldn't find? Because you know what I couldn't find in a Publix one day? Emery boards. And you want to know what I did? I went up and I found someone and asked them where they might be because I couldn't, or if they sold them because I was like, I don't see them anywhere. Like, well, I'm in the nail aisle and I don't see it. And I didn't wait until I went to the checkout line. But thanks for always asking me if I found everything okay.
And they always ask you too, like, if I'm alone, you know? They'll ask me like, would you like help out to your car? And it's like I have three bags.
This bag that has a pub sub in it, or like, it's like the lightest thing imaginable. They're like, would you like help out to your car? No, I know you have to ask me that, but like, no, I do not. I have one tiny little bag.
And like, they make them ask those questions, and they're like, you had to be super helpful to work at Publix, but they wear a fucking pin that says, like, I do not accept tips.
Yeah.
Which is, like, outrageous to me. I'm like, if somebody's helping me bring my groceries to the car, they're getting a tip.
I should be able to leave them money. Like, goddamn.
Right. Like, I'm like, what? Anyway. Corporations.
Corporations. The worst. But here she is at Fraser's. And, of course, he walks in. But our boy, Dave, because, of course, like, he, you know, works there. And he's there for a little breakfast, which I love that he points out to McLean that she's running late, and that's why, like, he should be able to drive her. But I'm like, but you're okay with running late? Like, you also then are running late to school, my dude. But, yeah, so he comes in, and obviously she's going through it. And he asks her if she's okay. And she's like, oh, it's just a brain freeze. And he's like, oh, I'll be right back. He's going to go get a freaking everything and procrastinator special, which apparently he's come up with his own code, we learn, of you know, since working there, and now like all of them use it, which seems like a Dave thing to do, to be honest.
Very.
And so yeah, so he's trying to convince her, because she's running a little bit late, that he's like, why would you take the bus when I have a perfectly good car right here? And so she finally is like, okay, fine, I guess I'll let you drive. And then this is where she sees basically like his old lady Volvo that he drives, and he just got it back. He has like the she says on the passenger seat there's one of those like beaded covers that she associates with taxi drivers and grandmothers, which same. And like, he is proud of this car. And so he's like, yeah, I just got it back. He's like, I think those cells clinched it, because he had to go watch the cell documentary. Yes. And I just thought that was such a funny line. Like, the cells clinched it. And he's like, no, I agreed to like help in my mom's lab after the Austin trip. And you know, I'll go to brain camp. And so I got my Volvo back. And she's like, okay. So, you know, she's talking about she misses her old beat up Toyota Camry. And he's like, oh, like, what'd you do? Get a new car? And she's like, no, I just left it when I left the last place, which is like the most McLean thing ever. And so they finally get to school. And oh, no, wait, first on the drive, another cute, like typical Destin Vance. You know, he's asking her about the time, and he hopes it's okay and that she wouldn't be offended. And she's like, why would I be offended? And he's like, you know, you don't like clutter. And she says, it's one spice container. And so he says, yes, but it's a slippery slope. First you have thyme, then you get into rosemary and sage and basil, and the next thing you know, you have a problem. He's like, it's adorable.
I love them.
Yes, they're just absolutely the cutest. And this is where we finally get to find out about the tattoo, y'all. This is finally, yes, the tattoo origin story. So she says something about, you know, warts and all, loving the car. Is that what they're talking about? I don't even remember what she says about with warts and all. Oh yeah, because they're talking about the car has character, and she says warts and all.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, oh, like, what did you just say? And so he's like, that's actually what this tattoo is supposed to be. And he explains that when he was a kid, his, you know, parents are both full-time teaching, and so he went to this lady Eva, who watched a few of the kids, which is now we also find out him and Riley's origin story. They met being, yes, babysit by the same lady, which is very cute.
Riley's so grandmother.
Been frenzies forever. Oh yes, that's right, it's Riley's grandmother. And so he's like, yeah, you know, I told you, like, we've known each other forever. And so he says that, you know, she was just straight up awesome. She kind of seems a little bit like Amira to me, which I, yes, love that. Like, I love all these people having, like, I don't know, everyone needs like Amira. And so he says that, you know, she got cancer last year and she passed away. They were both obviously devastated because this lady meant so much to them. And so the day after her funeral, they went and they got this wart tattoo because she had this wart on her wrist. And that was like one of her things, is like, take me as I am, love me warts and all. And so both Riley and Dave have kind of adopted that life motto, which I think is a great life motto, personally. Yes,
same.
And so, you know, McLean is kind of saying, like, you know, yeah, in theory it is accepting all the good with the bad. It's a great thing to aspire to. The hard part is actually doing it, which is very true, especially when you are a teenager.
Yes.
With your little teenager brain. And again, I know that she's kind of thinking of her mom in this particular scenario.
Yeah.
Which is fair of her. And so, you know, she was saying that, you know, so he's like, oh, you think so? And she's like, you know, since I've been moving around so much, like, nobody ever gets to see the bad stuff. And Dave's like, you know, I'm not so sure. I've only known you for a month and I know plenty of stuff. And he's like, you have no condiments or spices. You're also vicious with a basketball. And like,
so cute. So cute.
And she's like, those aren't exactly warts, you know, because again, they're not like actual serious things. And he's like, maybe, but like, you know, it's all relative, right? So they, of course, are now trying to get into class, and it is a snowing. And so they have this whole, like, they're trying to hold each other up. They're both slipping and sliding everywhere. And basically, they kind of start going down. She says that, you know, as my feet slipped beneath me, my heart was lurching, pounding with that scary feeling of having no footing, no control. But then I looked over at Dave. He was laughing. His face flushed as he wavered this way, then that, pulling me along. equally clumsy behind him. Same situation, two totally different reactions. She says, so much had happened that morning, yet it was this image, this moment that I kept going back to hours later after we'd made it safely to the walkway and gone our separate ways to classes. How it felt to have the world moving beneath me, a hand gripping mine, knowing if I fell, at least I wouldn't do it alone. Oh, bless. I'm so happy that Day found her, like when she was having that kind of morning, which obviously yes. This is a book and it was written. But still,
like it's so nice.
It's nice, and this is exactly the point of like why it's nice to have a friend. Like it's nice to have someone when you're going through things, and she's put up these walls, and she doesn't make connections because she knows everything's going to be temporary. But like, even if it is temporary, it's worth making connections with people because that's what's going to get you through the goddamn day, you know?
Yeah. And ultimately, like, she needs to make connections with people because she is not, like, dealing with this divorce in any healthy, like, meaningful way at all. I have this pile of beads on my desk that when I need to fidget, I just organize over and over and over again. So if I'm not looking at you, it's because I'm organizing my beads.
Organizing a bead, folks. It's good stuff. I respect it, honestly. I'm just fidgeting with my pen as per usual.
I bought two fidget toys because I lost mine. So I'm looking forward to that. Anyway.
Anyone's coming in?
Anyway, we haven't recorded in a while, y'all. I don't know.
Yeah, and we're just going off on tangents. I also have thought of like five things I need to tell you, and then I was like, I'm gonna wait till we're finished recording because no one needs to hear all these five things. I was like, we're just gonna wait. But anyways, the snow, it keeps coming down. So again, for North Carolina standards now, it's too much. And so they cancel school at lunch. And our girl is just going to go home and work on some laundry. But again, she just kind of finds herself. She gets off two stops early from the bus and ends up at Luna Blue right in the middle of the lunch rush. Or there isn't much for the lunch rush, she's saying, because of the weather, which, yeah, it'd be like that. And Chuckles and Opal and her dad are off in their meeting. And so she's like, okay, can't really talk to them. So she ends up upstairs where she runs into Dave and Deb. Just absolutely, they're starting to work on this model. And Deb has come in and she has taken over in the absolute best possible yes. way. Like, she is prepared. She is ready for this. And she's kind of like, she's like, no offense, but this is a bad method, what you guys have been doing. And so Dave's like, I'm offended. And then she legitimately feels bad that she has hurt his feelings. And he's like, no, it's fine. Like, no one, obviously we're not good at this. And so she's like, okay, I was really into miniatures as a kid, which is fantastic because, of course, Sarah, like, really is into miniatures.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if, like, that started. Like, I'm curious now, like, was she – because I feel like it's more of a recent thing in her life, like a, like, since COVID thing.
Yes.
So it's so interesting that it's in this book. So I'm like, maybe the miniatures has been more of a thing in Sarah's life for longer than I realized. But because I thought that was more of like a recent thing. But I was like, I love that she wrote this character who loves miniatures and now she, like, really is into miniatures. So then, you know, McLean's like, oh, like, Dave was into like, model trains. And he's like, it's not model trains. Like, I was into, like, war stuff. And so Deb's like, yeah. And this is where she talks about how she made recreations of Revolutionary War cottages and Victorian orphanages. And, of course, they're both like, what? And so she's like, anyone can have a dollhouse. I was more creative with my play. Deb, you fucking icon. Like, why are you the greatest? And so she's like, I loved war staging. That's how I ended up with all my orphans.
Yeah, I loved that line.
That's the greatest line. Like, someone get that. Someone get that on a shirt for me, please. I would wear it gladly every day.
That's how I ended up with all my orphans.
So McLean's like, what kind of childhood did you people have? And this is where we kind of learn a little bit about poor Deb. And she's like, the bad kind. We were always broke. Mom and Dad didn't get along. My world was messed up, so I like being able to make other ones. Which, like, kudos. Like, kudos for making the best out of a bad situation. And so, you know, Dave's like, I just liked battles. He's like, I don't have, like, any sad story to tell. And Deb's just like, yeah, who doesn't? It's like, so then she starts getting into, like, the whole, like,
Spectre thing and like how they're gonna do this. And this is one of my other favorite lines of this chapter, which is where Dave goes to McClane and goes, "Can I tell you something?" Dave whispered to me, "I love Deb. She's a total freak, and I mean that in a good way."
Yes.
Yes, she is. I love it so much. She's so good. She makes friends with apparently there is a lady, like a helpline, from Model Community Ventures, who is the people that have sent this model for them to create. And her name is Marion, and she's like made friends with her. She's called her twice already. And McClane's like, "I'm sure there's gonna be more. Like, I'm sure she's gonna call her again." And it's just the cutest, sweetest thing. Everything about this scene, everything about Deb is just absolutely wonderful.
I love Deb. And I'm like thinking back now to our interview with Sarah Dessen. No big deal. And wasn't she talking about how obsessed she was with Deb and how her editor had to be like, "We need less Deb in the story."
Yes.
Yes.
And she's like, "I want more Deb." And you know what, Sarah? You were fucking right for that. Like,
yes.
Deb is so good.
Deb is so great. What an awesome character.
Like, I want a full Deb series. Give me a 3-part trilogy about Deb, truly. I'd follow her anywhere.
Same.
She's fantastic.
She really is.
So they're so happy that like they've got the sectors, they've got these things working. I also love this whole conversation about the fact that she's feeling pretty good about her stuff, and Dave's like, "Well, really, when you went to the restroom, she said that your sectors were lacking." And so she's like, "Damn it." I like how they're like getting serious. Like, they but like no one was into this except for Deb, but now Deb's like got them into it, and they're like, it's like a competition, like who's doing good at it. And it's just like, it's fantastic. We get another call from the councilwoman, from Lindsay Baker, who's still got it hot for her dad and is still trying to get in contact with him. With that lady. Doesn't she know that Gus and Opal are meant to be? Like, get out of here.
Also, like, take a hint.
She says, yeah, like, how many times do you have to call the dude and be told that he's not around?
Seriously.
So you finally understand, you know?
Right.
Ridiculous. So she says, finally at 5 o'clock with 3 sectors done, they decide to call it a day. They go downstairs, and Opal is in good spirits. She's, like, chilling with a glass of wine. And she was saying, so she, you know, can tell her that, oh, like, things are going good with the model. So she's like, oh, maybe Lindsay will stop, like, calling all the time. And it's like, Opal, that is not what she's calling all the time. Mm-hmm. That is not it at all. And so she was saying, you know, like, everybody's happy. You know, she's like offering off fried pickles. Apparently the meeting with Chuckles went well and they get to keep the staff. So obviously Opal is very relieved about that. And then finally we get the big Chuckles introduction. He comes out
Chuckles,
dressed to the nines, his 2 NBA championship rings, 1 on each hand. And he's all like, is that McClane I see? And she's like, yes. She calls him Charles. I guess she doesn't want to call him Chuckles, which... missed opportunity.
Seriously. Really. Seriously.
Come on. And she's like, oh, you know, how are you? And he says, I'll be better once we tuck into that buffalo, which I just is fantastic to me. He's invested apparently in a bison ranch, and he shipped him some here, and they're going to have this like meal. And so he invites her along to it. And she's like, sure, just want to go home real quick and change. And then freaking again, Lindsay Baker is trying to call. And so he's like, oh, you know, Gus, you've got a phone call. And he finally takes it. And McClane was kind of talking about how he usually won't get involved with someone until he knows what the timeline is going to be. And since obviously he had this meeting with Chuckles, she thinks he kind of has a better idea. And now he's gone to like take this phone call. We also have a big moment here for Opal's growth where Chuckles takes one of the fried pickles and is enjoying it. But he's like, where be the rolls? And she's like, we don't do those anymore. Here, have another fried pickle. And I'm like, Opal, look at you coming along. I love that everyone loves these rolls, but they you can't have the cost. I get it, but still. So she says, you know, she said that Dave and her say their goodbyes. They, you know, walk to the back entrance. She'll be back to see them soon. And we get a little interaction here between Dave and Jason. And so Dave kind of spills the tea on Jason, which of course we as readers sort of already know because we know Jason's sister a little bit. But he's talking about like what a rock star he was. You know, he went to Kiffney Brown. He took U classes. He went off to Harvard. And as far as Dave knew, Jason was still at Harvard until he saw him a couple weeks back when he came to work on this community project. So McLean's like, interesting, Harvard to line cook, what's the situation? And we're proud personally of Jason for his character growth, but I'm sure, again, this will not be the last time we hear about that, but they acknowledge it. And Jason's like very kind of cagey when Dave's like, hey, like brain camp, whatever. And he's like, no, but I don't know anything about that. So he's clearly turned a new page in his life. So anyhow, she sees that her there's like a loud bang. It's just distracting. So her dad is still on the phone and he says, your office, City Hall, 11:30. No U-Pick, like I'm sure you know other places. So he's finally making that lunch date with her. And Opal kind of comes by and she's like, you know, when he's done, remind him that Chuckles is waiting for him. We're having that bison. And so she heads out and McLean. Dave asks her if she's ready to go because, again, like they kind of came together and they're like, you know, heading out together. And now she's kind of like having a little bit of a panic because, again, like her dad is making this lunch date. They had a meeting today. Like time's kind of seems to be ticking by. And so she says, I looked back at my dad's door. Now all quiet behind it. No, I thought I'm not. Not ready to go. She doesn't want to leave Lakeview. She's on her people.
Okay. So I have a couple of things to say.
Yes.
So first of all, when Opal is like all happy at the bar drinking her red wine and she's like, you know, whatever, like chatting everybody up. Dad is very stoic. Kind of just staring out the window. He is not really engaging much. And then, so I thought that was interesting because I'm like, maybe he is seeing now, like, Chuckles is cool with this place. Like, he might reassign me soon and I don't want to leave. So I think they're both kind of.
Yeah, father and daughter are both having a little, like, freak out about having to leave this time.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're in love.
And then also at one point, let's see, where is it? Hold on. Okay, here it is. Opal comes in at the door at the end of the hallway. Opal is standing there and she's like, hey, is your dad still on the phone? And McLean's like, I think so. And she's like, well, when he's done, remind him we're waiting for him to join us. Tell him Chuckles is insisting on it. She smiled, and so am I.
Ah, I love. I was like, "Ooh, Opal's had a little red wine, and the truth is coming out." Mm-hmm. Here. She's like,
mm-hmm. "I love it,"
and I love that for her, honestly.
Well,
but yeah, a big, like I said, it's not like the longest chapter, but like a lot happens, and I'm just like. Oh, I want both. I want everyone to stay. Y'all are happy in Lakeview. Stay in Lakeview. Be with Dave and Opal and live your best lives. And this freaking mom needs to get her head out of her ass and like be a mother.
She needs
She
needs another adult to be like very honest with her and be like,
yes.
Do you think maybe there's a reason McLean doesn't want to come to your house? Or like, as I'm sure Peter's just like, you know, yes, I'm sure Peter is just enabling her.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you poor little thing. Yeah, that your daughter doesn't want to see you.
Yeah,
yeah, he's probably on her side, which is good, but also like not good.
Not good.
Very not good. But yes, with that, chapter 9 in the books. Mm-hmm. We'll be back next Tuesday with chapter 10. But come hang out with us this Thursday for a little chaos. Maybe we can't guarantee things.
We can't guarantee like a schedule right now, but next time we do a Tuesday episode.
Next time we do a Tuesday episode, it will for sure be chapter 10. And that's all we can promise. And that is enough. I think that all of you love us warts and all. So
Yes.
That's where we'll leave you today. And as always, please take care of yourselves, and we will chat real soon.
Bye. Bye.